Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Scythe, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforscythe.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you're joining us on The Schmooze. Our favorite Rabbi, Levi Mintz, is with us, and myself, Tim House. Rabbi, what in the world are you doing today?
Oh, my gosh. I'm itching. Sunday, February 12th, 12 p.m. We are smelling diesel. Tim, are you ready?
Make it happen. Let's get that diesel aroma in the air and get everybody's blood pressure up.
Absolutely. We're going to be starting demolition and construction, and it is so exciting. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you just go back to day one where none of us knew each other, and it was just Jewishly a barren wasteland. And from one to another, with love, unconditional care and concern, we came together, person by person, family by family, with a united passion to build a vibrant local Jewish community, little by little, from a storefront to the purchase of land to the development. And now it's 6.5 years later, and we are starting demo and construction for what will change the landscape forever of Jewish life in North Georgia, a 10-acre, beautiful property celebrating Jewish life here at the core and the center of North Georgia, here in Forsyth County, with a beautiful synagogue, beautiful school for the children, for the preschool, place to socialize and celebrate life. It is, you got to pinch yourself about what's happening with the ball fields, with the sports facilities for the kids, for the camp, for the summer, the Holocaust Museum and Tolerance. You take a step back and you're saying, wow, we are about to begin Sunday, February 12th, 12 p.m., a moment that it will never be the same again. It will never be the same again. And Tim, we've been talking about this for so long.
Hey, look, this is going to be just a huge event, folks. And I'm going to expound on some of what the rabbi said real quick. Look, if you've got frustration, not just love in your heart, but frustration, come bang a hammer with us. Come help us knock down the old and bring in the new. It's an exciting day. It's a new chapter in Jewish life in North Georgia. I know a lot of you are going to be watching that Super Bowl game. Come take your frustration out with a mallet and help us do what we've got to do to build Jewish life in Forsyth and take some of those frustrations out while you're there.
Absolutely. And there'll be barbecue. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have live music. It's going to be a celebration. But you know what, Tim?
What?
Building Jewish life in North Georgia demands such a celebration. And to be able to come together and to feel the magnitude of the moment, to be blessed, to be able to have our physical hands be a part of the actual construction of this synagogue, of this place that will be a beacon of light, of goodness and kindness for generations, is fantastic. And of course, like you said, Tim, we're inviting the entire community at 12 o'clock to participate. Come with your children. Come with your grandchildren. Be a part of history, of the development, the very beginnings of growing Jewish life here in North Georgia. Today will create memories that will last a lifetime, and it will be able to be a story that is told and retold for generations.
Don't forget us at noon today. We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, glad y'all joining us again. We've got the special guest, Lou Bob, back with us, and she's got another question for our rabbi. Rabbi, are you ready for this one?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Have at it.
All right. So my question probably is very relatable to a lot of people out there, and that is, how do we have healthy boundaries between us and grandparents? And I'll give you an example in a minute. But also still continue to respect our elders. So I had a situation come up recently. Went to a birthday party, family birthday party with my family. And long story short, I told my kids, I said, you can order what you like off the kids menu. They ordered something and they brought my daughter's food out and she didn't like the food. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry you don't like it. Feel free to have some of mine. And, or, you know, you can eat when you get home. No big deal. Well, my mom was like, oh my gosh, you have to order her something else. You know, she's going to starve. Of course, she's not going to starve in 1 hour. And we had a disagreement about that because by virtue of just not, you know, I never order two meals for my kids if they don't like something. They have a choice to eat or not eat it. But of course, I can understand my mom's perspective of wanting her to be fed because every Jewish mother wants their grandchild to be fed. So anyway, how do you, I guess, what's the best approach in a situation like that or other situations where they mean well, but you want to set a healthy boundary and you don't want them to undermine your parenting, but at the same time, you want to be respectful.
Absolutely, Lubav. It's like you said, it's very relatable. And I, if I may, you know, I feel that today, you know, the question is coming from like an amazing place, right? The question is coming from a place of, I understand the importance of respecting my parents. I understand the importance of that my parents have a relationship with my kids. And a lot of times, you know, it feels like they're jumping into my lane as being a mother or being a father. And how do I navigate communicating that with my parents? I feel like it's necessary. Before we go into how to do that, I think the premise is so important about the foundation is how important it is to respect our parents. Like, I feel like that a lot of times is not emphasized enough of how important that is. You know, in the Ten Commandments, it says, honor your mother and your father. It doesn't say love your mother and your father. The reason why we honor our parents, even if we don't have any feelings of love towards them, is simply because they partnered and had a child and then gave us the gift of life. And the gift of life is forever, it's eternal. And therefore we have the greatest amount of gratitude towards our parents forever in the mere fact that they gave us life. And therefore that's the reason why there's an obligation to honor our parents always and forever. Now, of course, you know, there may be unique situations that arise where there's deep abuse that's going on. And of course, at that point, you know, that would be going off the general rule. But for generally speaking, most children do not have that type of, even in a difficult situation with their parents, they're not going through most of the time with the type of abuse that would preclude them from honoring their parents for the mere fact that they gave them the gift of life. You know, just to share just two incidences that the Talmud shares that really just gives a perspective of how important honoring one's parents are, is that the Talmud says a story that there was a sage that he noticed when he was walking with his mother that his mother had tattered shoes. And so he noticed that his mother walking on the floor would obviously be very uncomfortable. And it says that he went down on his knees and he told his mom to stand on the palms of his hand. And he literally walked the entire way home on his knees on the ground as his mother was walking on the palms of his hand, right? The story is really illustrating this high level of honor for one's parents. A second story that's shared is where there was a young man that discovered a treasure chest and he needed to find the key to open up the treasure chest. Now, you can imagine how excited you would be if you found this chest filled of riches. You would want to open it up as quickly as possible, and it discusses the story how he learns that the key to open up the treasure chest is actually under the pillow of his father while his father was sleeping. So to get the key, he would have to really risk waking up his father. And the Talmud discusses how he chose not to wake up his father, not even to, for a few moments of giving his father discomfort. This is a very high level of what it means to honor one's parents. But that needs to be the foundation. And by the way, Luba, before we get into how to deal with it, I said I would only share two, but there's a third interesting story that comes to mind. It's like a did you know. So in 1980, I believe it was 83, I may be wrong on the year, but the Rebbe sent my in-laws, Rabbi Yossi and Dasi Nu, to come here to the state of Georgia to develop Jewish life. And they, Rabbi Nu is originally from Melbourne, Australia. Rebbetzin Nu, she's originally from Brooklyn, New York. And now they're moving on this mission to the south, part of the country, the world that they're not familiar with at all. And it's like this ambiguous mission, right? Establish and grow and prosper Jewish life in the state of Georgia. They didn't really know exactly what should they do, like what should be the objective, the mission. It's like it's a massive undertaking. So they wrote a letter to the Rebbe asking like for direction of what should be their primary focus. And the Rebbe's secretary got back to them and said that the Rebbe said that your primary mission should be to educate the locals of how important it is to honor their parents. That's amazing, right? That's like, that was the answer. And there can be a whole host of like, what would be the primary objective and mission that is like a legitimizing this entire endeavor, dedicating your life to an unbelievable cause. And what was the focus that they were told to have? To teach the locals of how important it is to honor their parents. Now, obviously, it's out of the scope of this conversation of really going into it of like why honoring a person's parents is so important and why it's so critical, why it's so vital, why would it be included in one of the Ten Commandments. You can look at a person and their experience of life and their attitude and their way that they are is so interconnected with what the relationship looks like with their parents, but that's obviously out of the scope of this conversation. But this really highlights how it's so important to honor our parents. So what do we do, right, Luvav? What do we do in a situation where it can be a little bit difficult? I think what's important is to sit down and to have an open conversation. And it's important that the conversation opens up with mom, dad, I want you to know I respect you so much. I adore you so much. You are my world. You're the world of my children. Premise the entire conversation with sharing with your parent how important and critical and vital and precious their role is in your life. Once you create the base of that conversation, that they know where they stand, you then come and then you say, and it's important to put healthy borders, you say, mom, dad, I really would appreciate if going forward, being a mom is not easy, as you raised me, thank God, right? Being a dad is not easy, right? You raised me, thank God. And I work very hard with figuring out the eating and the eating choices and how it works. Are you okay that in the future, you just let me handle it because it'll be, much easier in terms of the big picture of how I'm helping my kids, in X, Y, and Z. It's so important to be able to share in a healthy way, how you feel about it and to place those borders. But it's just as important before sharing that to really preface the entire conversation in letting the parent know where you stand and how much you admire and appreciate and honor and respect them. And, from that context that's established, creating those borders will be much easier.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is I should start with a place of love. So if I'm sitting at that restaurant like I was the other day and I shared my opinion, I should have shared it in a way where I started love you guys. You're the best. You did a great job raising me. I know you do a great job raising my daughter, but can we respectfully agree that going forward, we're not, you know, we're not going to challenge each other in front of the kids or something to that
effect? So what I would say is at the restaurant, I mean, unless it's like a life and death and there's something like very serious going on, just let it go by.
Let it go.
But then that night or the next day, say, Mom, I want to come over. I want to talk to you, not in front of the kids, not in front of anywhere else. And then there, that's a perfect time to talk about the idea and, you know, and to you know, discuss the situation and how you feel, you know, it would be the best for the mother's relationship to be with the grandkids. And obviously it's coming from a profound place of respect and honor. And usually if it's coming from that place and the conversation is being done with a very high level of dignity and honor, usually the mother will you don't even have to finish your sentence and she'll be like, I know exactly what you want. I get it. I understand it totally. And that's a home run.
Well, I actually response because I think I handled it poorly because it turned into a power struggle at the restaurant. But I think had I just, to your point, respected her, let her order another, who, you know, pick my battle. And then the next time, maybe again, sat down without the children there and had that conversation, it would have been received much better than it was. And it wouldn't have drawn attention to what was going on and took attention away from the birthday party. So I agree with that response.
Rabbi, y'all did it again. Folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, glad you joined us again. Boy, have we got a deep topic this morning, guys. We got the Ten Commandments this week. Rabbi, Sinai happened. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments to give to the Jewish nation. There's so much that we could talk about. What is your thought about that? It's exciting to me.
It's unbelievably exciting. It's the moment when civilization was changed forever. Law was brought. A code of ethics and morals was presented. It was a moment of revelation. It was a moment where every single nation and every single civilization would be changed forever because of the very high and elevated ideals, morals, and values that are inside the Ten Commandments. I mean, just think locally here as Americans, our judicial system is based on the Ten Commandments. Our Constitution, even the founding fathers, even in their writings, they write that the ideas in the Constitution of the United States of America is predicated on the values and ideals that are inside the Ten Commandments. This is a moment that changed the world forever and continues to change the world forever, meaning it's elevated ideas that we're supposed to implement and place into every crevice of this universe to see to it that every man, woman, and child sees themselves in the divine image, sees themselves to be able to have access to all of life's blessings, and that we can build communities that are filled with life and love and respect and tolerance and understanding, and that we can do the right things to build the world, not, God forbid, destroy it. But I want to share an idea, Tim, because such a monumental moment. Just think about the people that were standing there, receiving the wisdom for the first time. They had no expectations. They didn't know what would come. They were about to transport, going from an old, archaic, pagan world into the most elevated new world of monotheism with all of its values and ideals. It was an unbelievable revolutionary moment. And we find two things that happen at that moment that I think are unbelievably powerful takeaways. The first thing is that it says that when the Ten Commandments were coming down, there was thunder and there was lightning. Now, come on, Tim. Thunder and lightning, Is this necessary for the backdrop of an unbelievable gift? Meaning, I understand that the Ten Commandments, the moment was a wild moment. But such theatrics, thunder and lightning, come on, let it be quiet, nice, meditative. You can hear the birds chirping. You can grab a cup of tea, listen to these profound ideas. And it's an amazing lesson over here. It is so important that when it comes to the transmission of the elevated ideas of the morals and the ethics of goodness and kindness that is embedded inside the Ten Commandments, it always needs to be relayed with passion, with excitement, with thunder and lightning. Now, people always ask, how am I going to make my children or my grandchildren live ethical and a moral and a dignified life? Because there's so many crazy things out there. And the answer is that if we transmit to our children the values of the Ten Commandments with thunder and lightning, with joy, with excitement, there's a drum to the beat, there's a dance, there's a skip, there's a yahoo, then you know that your kids are going to want to be a part of that. But if the excitement is in the nonsense of life, or when it comes to the meaning and the purpose and the reason that we're dragging along, no kid's going to want to be a part of that. There needs to be thunder and lightning. There needs to be passion and excitement. And the same thing is in building Jewish communities locally. It's so important that Jewish life is built with passion, with excitement, with thunder and lightning, because when there's all of that excitement and passion, everyone wants to be a part of it. Here's the second takeaway, Tim. We know that there was minimum 2.4 million people that were standing by Mount Sinai. Between men, women, and children, minimum. For sure we're more, but minimum. 2.4 million people standing by that mountain. Yet in the Torah, when it describes the encampment, when the Jews encamped around that mountain to receive the Torah, it says, and he encamped by the mountain. And the question is, why does it say, and he? It should have said, and they. And the foremost commentator of the Torah, Rashi, says that there was so much love, there was so much unity that it felt like they were one person with one heart. That is the second component. In addition to these values and ideas always be transmitted with joy and excitement and fervor, there always needs to be with it unconditional love and acceptance to every single individual. Because when there's unity, when there's love, yet again, that's a space you want to be in. When there's discord, when there's people looking down at other people, you're like me, you're not like me, a little this, a little that, no one wants to be in that space. But when there's real authentic unity, when there's real authentic love, when everyone feels like a family, that is a beautiful space that you want to be a part of. And it is in the episode of the giving of the Ten Commandments that we learn two great lessons of how we transmit these values from generation to generation. Number one, make sure it's transmitted with joy and excitement, thunder and lightning. And number two, make sure that the spaces that share these ideas are always filled with unconditional love and acceptance, a feeling of one people, a feeling of one heart, a feeling of one community. And then in such a space, these ideas and these values will be transmitted with such energy from generation to generation.
Wow, Rabbi, that was huge. Huge. A lot happening, folks. Like I say, the Jewish people got the Torah this week. We've got the teardown start today on Sunday. Rabbi, thank you for everything you do. Folks, have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Looking forward, Tim, and in the spirit of our conversation, today at 12, there will be passion and excitement in the demolition and the construction, and you have no doubt that there will be a strong feeling of love and brotherhood and sisterhood as we begin building our synagogue and Jewish community center. And we invite the entire community to join us today at 12. And let's never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Shmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org.